been several folks that have already went off with our kids for our Sunday school classes, but these just arrived. They got to my house yesterday, so they're here at church today. There's some on this register and either side of the back door, there's some. So before you leave, would you take one with you? Raise your hand if you'll take at least one with you. All right, now here's a challenge. This is a challenge. There's 2 weeks until our All Nations Sunday revival. How many will take five this week and try to give out at least five of these cards this week? Okay? So some of you are going to take one. Some of you are going to take five. And then next week, I'm going to ask you the same thing. So if you take the challenge both weeks, you'll be handing out 10 of these. Amen. Okay? And then the week before our revival on Saturday, we're going to ask those that will to join us, and we're going to pass out these flyers in our neighborhood of the church building, and maybe we'll go down to the shopping centers that are close by, and we'll hand out some in the shopping center. We'll go out in pairs and pass out some for about probably an hour. So we'll give you some, and we'll ask you to go out with your friend, and we're going to pray, and we're going to... You know what? If God brings in just one new soul, all of our effort is paid in full. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about for the whole church. If everybody and just one soul comes, all of our effort is paid in full. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So you'll be hearing more about that. Turn with me, if you will. I'm going to talk today on one of my very favorite topics of Scripture. I've preached on this portion many times before, but it's just, to me, so encouraging. I hope it'll encourage you. John chapter 2, beginning to read there at verse number 1. Amen. John chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, "They have no wine." Jesus said unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." His mother saith unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them to the brim. And saith unto them, "Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast." And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, "Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now." This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. My topic today, the master of change. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. Lord, you are the master of change. Lord, from the very beginning of the working of the miracles that you did on earth as a man, Lord, what you have already established, Lord, You are the master of change. I pray, Lord, that you would give me anointing, Lord, to speak of your greatness, to speak, Lord, of the word, to speak, Lord, of your will for this service today. God, anoint my mind and my words, and Lord, open our understanding. I pray that you would touch our hearts, Lord, that you would move upon us, and let your spirit, Lord, be preeminent in this service. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done and what yet you will do here today. Thank you for it, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. St. John's Gospel here in this reading, it records the first miracle that was recorded in Scripture in the Bible that Jesus performed. He performed it at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. It was a miracle of changing water into wine. Excuse me. A little water. Not wine. Praise the Lord. It was a miracle of change. In fact, this miracle of change, it was typical. It became the normal. It was the way that Jesus entered into his earthly ministry. He changed things wherever he went, whoever he touched. In fact, you look at Scripture, you look at the examples in the Word, you even look at people's lives today. His earthly ministry could easily be characterized as a ministry of change. In fact, he never left anyone or anything like he found them. Jesus changed everything. Amen. Praise the Lord. When Jesus showed up, something great, something wonderful, something spectacular followed. He raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. He opened the eyes of blind Bartimaeus. He wasn't blind anymore. He cleansed the 10 lepers on the roadside. He spit in the dust. He made a little mud pie and he rubbed the mud on the blind man's eyes. Afterward, he could see. He told the lame man, lowered down from the ceiling while he was teaching in the house. See, it was too crowded for them to come in the front door. You know, sometimes you got to find a way to get to where God is. Amen. If you are looking for a change, you got to get to where God is. Amen. They lowered the man down through a hole in the roof. Take up thy bed and walk. Amen. Changed everything. He spoke the word and the centurion's servant was healed. You don't even need to come to my house. Just speak the word. Just speak the word. Just say it, Jesus. And it's so. Multitudes heard about him. They flocked to where he was going. If they thought Jesus was there, they would come from all areas of life. And he healed, get this, all of their diseases. All of them. Not just one or two. Not just here and there. Not just once in a while. He healed all of their diseases. He delivered those that were bound. I have very good news for you today. For someone that is wanting a change, here's good news. Jesus Christ, He is the same yesterday and right now today and He will be tomorrow. Amen. Forever. God is the same. That means, in case you didn't know, you may have heard this before, that means anything that we find in Scripture, if you can see it in the Bible, if you can see that God had done it before, He can do it again. Amen. If He can do it at any time, you see, well, that was a long time ago. Well, I tell you, God is doing miracles right now today. God has done a miracle in my life. Amen. Anybody here received a miracle from God? Oh, man, there's hands all over the house. God is doing miracles today. If He's done it then, He can do it now. Amen. If he can do anything that He did in the Bible, He can do the same thing right now. Amen. If He had done it for anyone, there were hands all over the place that would say, God did a miracle in my life. God can do a miracle for them. He can do a miracle for you. Amen. He is a miracle working God. Amen. Anytime, any place, anywhere, God can do it here, right now. Amen. Today, in this service, God can do a miracle. Amen. In the second chapter of John's Gospel, Mary, the mother of Jesus, found that her host had run out of wine. She apparently was in charge of the servants. She was there coordinating that wedding. She had responsibility at that event. And now things have gotten out of her control. Examine the simple faith approach that Mary had to God. Amen. To the resolution to the problem. First, she approached Him, Jesus, expecting to receive a miracle. If anyone can do anything about the problems that are in this house today, there's problems with family members in this house today. There's problems with money in this house today, in families. There's problems in our flesh, in our bodies, right here in this house today. There's problems of all different sorts and sizes. There's problems in our own houses. There's problems in your life. There's something that only God can do today, here. Amen. Jesus is the answer to our problem. You see, Jesus is the master of change. Amen. If anyone can do anything about the problems that are in this house, I don't even know all the problems, but Jesus does. Amen. I cannot fix all these problems, but Jesus can. Amen. I know the one who can. Secondly, first she approached unto Jesus. Secondly, she told Him exactly what the problem was. She identified. She spoke it. She told Jesus what the problem was. You have not because you ask not. Did you pray about your problem? You know what? You can pray about that problem today. In this service, you can ask God for an answer to your problem. You have not because ye ask not. Another place in the Bible says, speak unto the mountain. Finally, and this is an important part right here, Mary left the problem with Jesus. Jesus, we ran out of wine. It would have been a very great embarrassment at the wedding feast to not have sufficient supply for the guests at the wedding. It would have been an embarrassment to her and to the bride, to the family, to the whole event would have been changed, would have been an embarrassment had not a miracle taken place. There was a time that Jeanette was cleaning up and I was working on one of our cars some years ago, and I had taken apart and put the parts that I was working on in the box. You ever take apart a carburetor? There's a whole bunch of little, or a transmission, or, you know, most people, if you've seen this box of loose pieces, it just seems, well, that thing is gone. That's impossible. There's nothing that can fix that. But you know what? In the hands of the one that can fix the problem, the pieces can come right back together. And it can work again. Amen. You know, it might take a new piece here or there, or renewing, or it might be something little, like a new gasket or a new filter, a new jet, a new little piece, a new little part. But you know what? When that little piece or that little part is out of place, or it's missing, or it's not working, or it's plugged up or broken or gone, it doesn't work. Our life can be like that. There can be just this little piece that you have a problem with and you don't know how to fix it. It's like there's a whole mess. I've tried to fix it. How about that? Anybody try to fix it and you can't put it back together? If your life is a box of mixed parts that you've been trying to piece them back together, you know what? I know a master mechanic. I know a master physician. I know the maker of our lives. Amen. It is Jesus the Christ, and He can make it right. Amen. He can fix it. Praise the Lord. He can. He will. He's able. Church, faith moves God. In fact, there is nothing else that moves God like faith. In our elements class this morning, today, it came up. Well, there's grace. What is grace and what is faith? And well, grace is on God's part, but we have to have faith. Amen. The people have to believe that God is. And that He is able. Amen. Oh, if you'll just get a grip. If you'll just get a hold to. If you'll just gain an understanding of who God is and what He does. Amen. It's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Great. I've heard great preachers, accomplished musicians, talented singers. And we've had great singers and preachers and here at this church. Thank God for them. Oops. Don't bang the microphone on the pulpit. But none of that can move God like faith moves God. Amen. Faith moves God. Now, there may be some that are going to cringe right here. Not even prayer. As powerful as prayer is, and prayer is powerful, prayer is significant. We'll not be saved without prayer. Not even prayer moves God like faith does. Amen. You try praying without faith. It's pointless. It's a waste of time, someone said. It's powerless. Yeah, try faith without praying. It's not good. You're missing the mark. The Bible commands us to grow in faith. It's God's intention that we would grow. I hope as your pastor that you will grow. That you won't stay the same as you were when you came here. I pray that God will grow you in Him. That God will further you in the kingdom of God. That your faith will become stronger. That it will become greater. That you will have a stronger faith in God. Grow! And we have scriptural precedent. We have reason by the Word of God to increase our faith. Well, I believe in God. Well, then, there are some people that don't believe in God. Scripture, Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Some people have no faith. They don't believe in God. Well, there is a God. I'm telling you. There absolutely is. You just look around us. The evidence is overwhelming. There is a God. Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. And He saith unto them, why are ye fearful? Well, because the waves are coming in the boat and the boat's about to sink and we're in trouble. We're out in the sea and, you know, we got reason to be fearful. O ye of little faith. You know what? You can have no faith or you can have a little faith. Having a little faith is better than no faith. Amen. And you are growing in your faith. Romans chapter 12, verse 3, God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. I tell you, every one of us, I believe, is given by God a measure of faith. Amen. Stretch the measure that you have. Just put it way out on the edge of where God has shown you He is and go there. Amen. A measure of faith. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, it talks about gifts that are given. There is a gift of faith. Yes. Romans chapter 4, verse 19 to 21, it says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. If you're 99, you're not by fleshly understanding, by carnal knowledge, by our own flesh, you're not going to be having any more kids at 99. But he considered not his own body when he was about 100 years old. He was 100 when his promised son was born. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. She was 89, delivered at 90. How'd you like to be 90 years old and having a new baby? Woo-wee! Man, that would change things. He's a master of change, but I'm not sure about that one. But if God did it, it'd be okay. If God gave it, it's going to be okay. Woo! Wow. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. If God's promises are given unto us, God is able to keep His promise. Amen. Every promise in the book is mine. Everything that He says right here in the Word, I believe it, it's true, and I claim it, I receive it, I believe it. Amen. Stagger not, waver not. Luke chapter 7, verse 9. I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. That was the centurion soldier, and also the Syrophoenician woman were both accredited with great faith in the Scriptures. Acts chapter 6, verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith. It is possible to be full of faith. Full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. We can increase our faith. You see, Jesus is the master of change. Yes. Our society has designated numerous programs to assist individuals whose habits and shortcomings and inner hurts, they plague their lives every single day. You see, and I'm not coming here with criticism of things in the world, but I just know there's something better. Amen. There's something better than anything that the world has. There's something better than the programs that are out there. There's something better. His name is Jesus. You see, at best, most of the efforts of these programs, they amount to some help, and they do help, with some problems. And the people do need help. The watchword of many of the programs in our society are, they're teaching you to, they help you to learn to cope. It's more than just learning to cope. Or how to live with your pain. Or masking the memories. I'll tell you what, there is an answer to the problem. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Alcoholics Anonymous has been around more than 100 years now. And they have a 6% success rate. That's one of the most successful secular programs around. In case you don't get it, that means 94% go back to drinking. My dad was an alcoholic before I was born. I've never seen my dad with a can of beer or drinking an alcoholic drink ever in my whole life as a child. I did not ever see him drinking. But he claimed to be an alcoholic all through my childhood. He went to Alcoholics Anonymous. I want to say he was like the director of the bingo game at Alcoholics Anonymous. So he went there for that. But he went to the AA house. They had a meeting house. They owned a building. And he went there, three, four, five times a week. You know, he went there on regular occasions. And he would often say, "I'm an alcoholic." No, I've never seen him with a drink in his hand ever in my whole life. And he's holding on to, "I'm an alcoholic." You know what? There was a time in my early life that I drank. But you know what? I've been delivered. I've been set free. Jesus is a master of change. God has set me free. I am not an alcoholic anymore. I am not bound to that sin anymore. I am not weakened by that problem anymore. I tell you, there's a huge difference. There's a great big difference between holding on to your problem and coping and being set free. Amen. Being changed by the power of the Lord. Amen. Everyone and everything Jesus ever came in contact with was changed. He is the master of change. Jesus is. Amen. Everyone, everything Jesus ever came in contact with was changed. Amen. BC, before Christ, A.D., after death. Yeah, there's some that say there's something about this modern era, but forget all that. Jesus changed time. Jesus changed everything. It was Mary's simple faith approach that literally thrust Jesus into his earthly... Jesus told her, my time has not yet come. Not for the next 30 seconds. It's about to change right now. Here's the problem, Jesus. Thank you very much. And she walked off. She was no longer in control. She handed over control of that problem to Jesus. Now, it is possible. I wouldn't advise it. You can go home with your problem today. You can just put it in your pocket and carry it around all day long. You can carry it home with you. You can carry it on tomorrow. You can carry it on to next week. You can carry that problem your whole life if you want to hold on to it. But Mary put the problem with Jesus. And then she identified the problem. We have no wine. You can tell Jesus what your problem is right now. Today, in this service, you don't have to tell me. You don't. There's no confession booth here. No, I don't need to hear all those problems. In fact, to tell you the honest truth, I don't want to hear all those problems. I'll listen. If you want to tell me, I'll listen. But you don't have to tell me. But you do need to tell Jesus. You do need to pray and ask God for help with that problem. We have no more wine. Verse 3. Verse 4. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. It's not my problem, he was saying. This isn't the time. It's not the place where my earthly ministry is to begin. His mother said unto the servants, get this. And this is great. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. You know, whatever Jesus says to you, here it is. If it's in the Word, do it. Do it. Do it! If he said it unto you, do it. This is his mother. Told the servants, do what he says. She ignored his refusal. She turned her back on him and walked. Told the servants, follow him. Don't look at me anymore. Do what he says. Jesus says, fill the water pots with water. He starts giving instructions. Fill the water pots with water. Draw out now. And bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. I can hardly imagine what it must have been like to be one of those servants. You know, it was the custom that when people came in, especially, you know, a nice house, it's a wedding feast, and, you know, people are dressed nice, and, you know, it's a respectable place, and they are having a celebration, and, you know, they want people as they come in, it was customary to wash their feet. Those big water pots was where they used the water to wash the people's feet. And they were using that water, ceremonial cleansing water. It wasn't meant for drinking. It was meant for washing. But they used those water pots, filled them to the brim. They were right to the top. Okay, they're full of water. What do you want now? Jesus, I can imagine them taking a cupful of the washing water, carrying it up to the governor of the feast. They're kind of wondering, am I going to get in trouble? Well, I'm just doing what I'm told. I'm a servant. I'm a follower. I'm doing what I'm told. Here you go. We have a cup of water. You know, as they obeyed, and this is key, as they obeyed, the problem left. Because by the time the governor took it in his hand, oh, this is the good stuff. You know, you might have been thinking, oh, I got a pretty good life. I got a pretty good wife. I got a pretty good job. I got a pretty good family. I got, you know, everything is in control. And if you are one of them, wow. That's amazing. But guess what? It's like, if you take a drink of what Jesus has for you, if you let God in your life will be changed. And it's the good stuff. Amen. It's the good stuff. Amen. It's the real good stuff. Amen. Jesus changed that problem. They bear it. If he can change that water into wine, if he can fix the problem there on that day, he can fix your problem. Amen. Throughout Jerusalem and Judea, it became simply understood. Wherever he is, wherever Jesus is, go there. The crowds became bigger and bigger, and he became more famous, and people wanted to see him. They wanted to see him perform a miracle, or they needed a miracle in their life, or they just wanted to witness him speak. If he's coming this way, wait on him. If he's over there, go there. The key to receiving a miracle was to maneuver yourself to get into his presence. Don't just keep living your life. Get in the presence of God. Get yourself where you suspect God is. God's sitting in your living room watching the TV. Probably not. Get yourself in the house of God. Is God going to be with you laying with your head on the pillow and sleeping late on Sunday morning? I hope not. Get yourself up. Get yourself to where God is. You know what? God will bless your life. God will help fix your problem. Now, all power in heaven and in earth belongs to him. Nothing is impossible for him. Sickness, disease, they're subject to God. The devil flees from God. Knowing this about Jesus, about God, and Jesus is God, my friend. I'm talking about the same thing when I say either one. Amen. There's no difference. There is no other. Knowing this about Jesus Christ, why wouldn't a person in need situate himself or herself in a place where they are most likely to meet Jesus? You might have to move your schedule. You might have to get up early. You might have to put something off so that you can be there where Jesus is. Now, that's what they did, but that's what we should do too. What do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe about the Word? Do you believe that Jesus really did those miracles? Oh, yeah, I believe it. I believe every word is true. I believe it. But do you believe Jesus, if he were to be in this house today, if he were to come into this service, would you receive a miracle? If he walked through those doors in the form of a man, if you could physically see him here in this place today, would you receive a miracle? What do you believe? Would you ask him something to do in your life? Would you ask God for help with something in your life? A healing in your body? A financial miracle in your home? How about a miracle in your marriage? What situation in your life would you ask him to change? If those doors right there were to swing open and he walked in and down this center aisle today, would you ignore him? Would you be a skeptic? Oh, that's not really him. Would you take a, oh, let's wait and see kind of attitude? Or would you forget about everything else and fall at his feet? Master. Lord. Would you order your cause? Would you make the request before him? Would you ask him for a miracle? I have very good news for you. Jesus is here. Amen. I have felt his presence in this very service. God is omnipresent. He is everywhere, all at the same time. God is here today. God, by his word, he promised, Matthew 18, verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. There's more than two or three people here today, and we do everything in Jesus' name. Amen. We pray in Jesus' name. We baptize in Jesus' name. God fills people with the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Amen. We believe in Jesus. Amen. Amen. He is the mighty God. He is the Holy One. Praise the Lord. From the time that we've arrived at this place, and from the very start of this service, when people began to worship, it's unto him. It's in everything in this house is in the name of Jesus. He said in James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You don't have to be afraid of the devil. Verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Yeah, you got to stop the mess, okay? That's part of the word. Amen. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. I got to stop thinking carnally and expecting to be blessed spiritually. Amen. Amen. I got to stop that worldly mess and start believing in God. I got to start believing in Jesus. I got to take my faith in him. Someone might say, if I could only see him, if I could only touch him. You see, not all of the disciples believed the report of Mary Magdalene that Jesus was risen from the dead. Thomas had doubt. Doubting Thomas. Okay, I'm a Thomas, but I believe. Amen. I'm a believer. John chapter 20, beginning to read at verse 25. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. There are still some hard heads in the world. Hard to get it in your head who Jesus is. That, my friend, is a problem. That's a problem. But Jesus is really good at solving problems. Amen. He can show you who he is. Amen. Jesus, later, he appeared to his disciples and he singled out Thomas. And he invited him to touch the nail prints.
Yes.
Go ahead. Put your finger right here. Here, you want to see this? You want to see my side? Put your hand, thrust it right in. Then saith he to Thomas. Let's go back up to 26. Back up one verse. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God." He came to the revelation, "You are He. You're the one." Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." I'll tell you what. I've never seen Jesus with my eyes. But I have felt his presence. Amen. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse number 8, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Just as we know the wind is true, there is such a thing as a wind. There's storms, there's hurricanes, there's big strong winds. I know they exist. I've never seen the wind. But I've seen the effects of it. I've been in great storms. In other words, Jesus was telling Nicodemus, you've never seen the wind, and yet you believe in it. You can feel the wind. You can see the effects of the wind. Without a doubt, He, Jesus Christ, is in this house right now. He is able to meet your need. I can feel the presence of God here right now. I can see the effects of His presence in the lives of His people. There's lives that have been changed right here, right now, today, in this service. Maybe some of you were drug addicts. I'm not an alcoholic anymore. Amen. Maybe some did drugs. I don't do illegal drugs anymore. Now, how did you change? It was the power of Jesus. Amen. Were you a sinner? Are you a sinner? Are you on your way to a devil's hell? That's not real popular to say. But it's so true. There's two places we're going to wind up. Heaven or hell. Amen. And we get to choose. We get to make the choice. Which way do I want to go? Jesus said in Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Would you stand with me? Musicians, would you come? In the closing few moments of this service, if I were you, I wouldn't just sit there. I would come and lift my voice and bring my petition and let the Master of Change fix my problem. Amen. Amen. As the musicians prepare to sing, come on. Come on up here. Come on up to the front. This altar is right now. It's open. I'm inviting you to come out of your seat. As you're standing, come to the front. And start, as you come down to this altar, you can start back there. And when you get up here, reach out. Touch Him. You can touch the hem of His garment. You can receive your miracle today. God can do great things in your life right now. Talk to God. He's the Master of Change. Worship.